Well, what we used to call Chinese New Year, now of course known as Lunar New Year, began yesterday on February 5, and this year, well, it's the Year of the Pig. And aside from lots of drums and firecrackers and dancing dragons, red lights all over the Opera House and those awful cakes that they seem to eat, the festivities are going to see the largest movement of people over a fortnight in any time in history. The Great Migration is on, so to speak. Over 200 million Chinese city dwellers will return to their hometowns and villages in rural China to be with family and friends at this particular time of the year. Of course, China, an increasingly urbanised society. The countryside has been basically cleared out of human capital. They've all gone to the city chasing the big bucks. But at this time of the year, they go home, particularly the younger ones, to see mum and dad. And so out here, this has become big business as well. It's estimated in Australia, we will host over 250,000 Chinese tourists in just February. And of course, the government, particularly in Sydney, the New South Wales government, pulling out all the stops, probably more than we ever do for Christmas, Easter or anything else, to bring those tourists and their money here to mark the beginning of the Lunar New Year. Well, Bill Lang is the Australia-China business relations expert and chairman of the Institute of Advanced Business. Basically, Bill's been travelling to China and working with Chinese businesses and students for over 18 years. I thought I'd pick his brain on the significance of this and also a couple of other China-related matters. He's on the line. Bill, nice to talk with you.
Yeah, g'day, Michael, and thanks for the opportunity to have a chat.
Hey, that's my pleasure. The Year of the Pig. Now, this is the one of the 12-year cycles of the Chinese zodiac, isn't it?
That's correct. And the story goes that the Jade Emperor invited the animals to come and meet with him, and that he would allocate each animal in the order in which they arrived across the actual 12 years. And the last one to arrive was the pig. He was the 12th to arrive. And so this year, for all of those that have born every 12 years going back from this year, they're born in the Year of the Pig, and this started off yesterday.
Now, I have to say, from a Western point of view, being born in the Year of the Pig doesn't sound terribly auspicious, but in Chinese psychology, how does it rate?
Look, the people that are born in the Year of the Pig that are really believed to be quite optimistic and independent and considerate people, but in the same way that the pig arrives sort of late to the Jade Emperor's gathering, they're also sometimes seen as a little bit lazy and a little bit gullible. Generally speaking, there seem to be very, very good folks to have as friends.
I'm sure they don't believe it. China's opening up to the Western, not just Western food and Western clothes and Western wine, but I would imagine bit by bit Western psychology, although the government there is pretty keen that doesn't happen. How much of this stuff, this ancient sort of, what we would say sort of myth-making, how much of that's actually still held dear in China, or is this just a good excuse to go back and visit the folks in the village?
Oh no, it's a very core part of sort of Chinese beliefs. So, it's the longest continuous recorded civilization for 5,000 years, and the current government has been in power, as a one party for nearly 70 years. But there have been different kingdoms, different emperors over many of those years, and these key elements around the Chinese zodiac and the traditions run very, very deep.
Of course, they're starting to run pretty deep out here. I made a comment, obviously, in the introduction, and I think it's true that, take the New South Wales government, for example. It seems they're pulling out all the stops to attract not just a lot of the increasingly large Sydney Chinese population, or Chinese-Australian population, but indeed friends and relatives from around China to come out here, spend money at this time of the year. The Opera House sales are red, the bridge is red, they've got festivals and buntings everywhere. Every second shop's got a Lunar New Year sale on, despite the fact that most people in Sydney don't observe this in any way, shape or form. It's becoming a big business.
Look, it very much is, and a couple of things about China. Only 8% of the population have actually got passports. And now, for those that have sort of entered the middle classes, heading overseas is a very prestigious thing to be able to do, particularly over this Chinese New Year period, which is the biggest holiday period up there as well. And so the opportunity for Australia to have people come and visit if they've got students studying here or they've got relatives here. Australia is almost the same time zone. There's increasing flights directly from different Chinese cities into places like Sydney and Melbourne and Perth. So we're an attractive destination. And a lot of things we take for granted, Michael, fresh air, clean paddocks with sheep running around, the Opera House, all of those sorts of things are just absolutely mind-blowing for our visitors. And something else, we're very friendly people and we welcome people from all around the world to come and meet us and experience Australia and Australians. And it means now, February is really extending that traditional sort of, December Boxing Day up to Australia Day weekend. For the tourist industry, this is big.
Big bucks. But of course, there's competition around the world. It's further away. But in London, I even saw number 10 Downing Street bedecked like a cheap Chinese restaurant the other day. They had all the bunting out the front and the red trees and whatnot. Theresa May welcoming some local Chinese dignitaries. I mean, they're after the bucks too.
Well, look, it's a competitive market, not just for tourists, but for students that are looking for the opportunity to sort of, study in various Western countries. And, Australia's doing a great job. We're sort of number two most desired destination for the students. But I'm not surprised number 10 is putting that on. I think it might have been Warren Zevon in Werewolves of London talked about a Chinese restaurant.
I think so. Hey, tell me about, broadly speaking, let's leave New Year aside for a second, Year of the Pig. Let's talk about these day gals, because when it particularly comes to baby milk formula, a lot of my listeners say, I was down at the local shops the other day and there were, I assume, Chinese Australians or Chinese people cleaning the shelves out of this baby milk formula. I went to get some. I couldn't get some. I had to go up the road or to the next suburb to find some. The shelves were bare. What's going on? And people say, and it's quite right, our big baby milk formula, baby powder or milk powder formula companies, A2, Bellamy's, these sort of groups, they have export arrangements with China. They're making a lot of money out of this. Why then do people have to buy it off Australian shelves and send it via the post when there is a direct market, a direct export market to China for this stuff? Why is that?
Look, I think there's potentially a couple of dimensions to it. There may well be only a certain volume that's available, directly in China. It may actually be much more expensive to buy it in China as opposed to having someone that you know who's living in Australia or a friend or a relative actually buy it here and then ship it back. The other dimension is around sort of the trust that Chinese people have in buying things from their friends and from their relatives and knowing that, this is the actual original product sitting on the shelf here in Australia. It's been purchased by someone that they know who then organises the shipping and sends it all back. Because there have been, a number of different types of products in China, including, baby milk formula a number of years ago, where there were some, unscrupulous manufacturers who hadn't put the right material in there and people got sick. So Australia is renowned as being, clean, green, fresh, advanced in terms of its regulations, the Therapeutic Goods Association, et cetera. So if we've got the products here that the Australians can buy, that's the best product for people in China to buy. If they can get it through someone they've got down here that they trust, that's what they're doing.
Okay, so I'm just trying to put my mindset in this, because if someone wanted to buy a Rolls Royce in Australia, they wouldn't ask Uncle Frank from Sevenoaks in London to ship one out. They'd go to the Rolls Royce dealership here and say, there's the best of British, that logo, I know that's from Britain, I'm going to buy it. But if a Chinese person in Shanghai or Beijing went to buy A2 milk formula off the shelf in their local supermarket, are you saying some of them wouldn't trust that necessarily that is the genuine Rigidij A2? That could be a forgery.
That could be the case for some people. And in some other cases, it may well be the actual authentic product, and it may be more expensive to buy it off the shelf there than to wait 1 week and have it shipped from Australia.
Even with all the packaging and postal costs?
Indeed.
Crazy, isn't it?
You'll find we were working with some small businesses recently in this area, and so look, there are a lot of Chinese people that are visiting their town in Victoria, and they're going into the vintage clothing stores and they're buying secondhand Australian-made Australian wool and children's clothes, and yet a bunch of us are going into Kmart and Target buying brand new made in China children's clothes. You'll also find for the more affluent Chinese buying some of the luxury brands, so the European brands in fashion and handbags, etc., is actually cheaper to buy them in Sydney or in Melbourne than it is to buy them in Shanghai or Beijing.
Just finally, the property market's cooling. There's no doubt about it. Some of the foreign investment restrictions are kicking in. That's particularly, I think, slowing Chinese capital coming in. Is that your reading of the situation?
Yeah, look, I think that's a factor. The other thing, if you look at the Chinese stock market and the Chinese property market themselves, they're down 20-25% in the last 12 months as well. So you've got Chinese consumers and investors are starting to sort of hold back in terms of their appetite for expenditure and investment. There's certainly been some changes with respect to the Chinese government wanting to keep more of their capital within their own country. But in the same way, we're seeing people down here expecting housing prices to fall, excess supply coming on the market, prices falling. There's a number of buyers that are holding back and waiting for the prices to fall more.
We'll see what happens long term. Great to talk to you, Bill. Thanks for fleshing out a bit about what this whole Lunar New Year thing is, and also answering some of those questions about the milk powder. Very good. Thank you, Bill.
Look, my pleasure, Michael. Thank you very much.
You have a wonderful day. Bill Lang there, the Australia-China's business relations expert, also chairman of the Institute of Advanced Business.